This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Today is the first of a series of a monthly interviews with a team at Bella Vista School entitled View to a Brighter Future. In this series, we will explore challenges facing so many of us, and I don't only mean the kiddies at school, that we can, with guidance from professionals, overcome. And to kick off this, the first Friday series, I'm delighted to have Annalise Clark, occupational therapist at Bella Vista, talk on neurodevelopmental disorders as a whole. Annalise is an occupational therapist with qualifications in childhood development and a master's degree in early childhood intervention. She's also a Feuerstein basic instrumental enrichment trainer. And Annalise, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
And it would be inappropriate and completely wrong for me to say that I have met Dr. Feuerstein myself previously. I have said it on the show so many times before, but I'm so proud of the fact, but I won't say it again. So I will say welcome, and I'm pleased you use his methods because they are really important. But neurodevelopmental disorders, long word, what does it mean?
Yeah, it certainly is a very long word. And I think we often start using that phrase of my child's neurodiverse or I'm neurodiverse. And the whole idea of neurodiversity is quite vague. So in the true sense of medical terms and of educational terms, we use neurodevelopmental disorders. And that's quite specific, and that helps us to identify and to work with children more effectively. So neurodevelopmental disorders is quite a big umbrella term, and so it includes things like intellectual disabilities, communication disorders, which the speech therapists work with a lot. Our ADHD or attention deficit and hyperactivity order falls in there. Our motor disorders fall in there. That's sort of things like dyspraxia, tic disorders, so your OTs and your physiotherapists work there a lot. And then autism spectrum disorder is also neurodevelopmental. And then we have our specific learning disorders, which we work a lot with at Bella Vista. And these are dyslexia, dyscalculia, and dysgraphia. So it's a huge mouthful, but they all sort of on that spectrum of neurodevelopment, which means it's a brain or originated difficulties.
So that kind of like the umbrella term for a whole host of things where things are not working to optimum. Yes. And I imagine with every single condition you've mentioned there, there's a whole spectrum as well.
Yes.
So each one would actually have to be viewed, like every individual would have to be viewed in isolation as to where on that spectrum they were.
Yes. So if you take, for instance, dyslexia, which is one of my passions, dyslexia exists on a continuum or on a spectrum. So you can be mildly dyslexic or severely dyslexic. And then autism also exists on a spectrum. So you can be severely autistic or just have a few traits. So the interesting thing about these are they all co-occur. So they all there's a little bit of everything in everything, which makes it very difficult to have a proper diagnosis, which of course is why we have people trained as educational psychologists and medical doctors that help with that. But there's always a little bit of everything in something.
So if somebody is struggling with ADHD, for example, they might also have X, Y, and Z combined. So it would be the dominant neurodevelopmental disease that you'd have to treat.
Yes. So usually you very seldom get only a single one. But what the doctors do is they identify the main one or the main characteristics and then make a diagnosis. So for instance, if it would be ADHD, then they can also just say there are co-occurring difficulties like dyspraxic kind of traits or ADHD or autism kind of traits that they also have.
So in terms of healing or identifying, I mean, you obviously want to identify because you want to kind of help. So is there one cure fits all, or is everything unique again?
No. So the the basis of neurodevelopment is that it starts from birth, even though you can't always see it, but that there is no actual cure for it, but there are ways to mitigate it. And for each difficulty, there'll be different ways of helping the children, and adults, because it never goes away. So for dyslexia, for instance, we'll help with really structured intervention. For children on the autistic spectrum, we'll help with that social emotional connection and how to deal and identify emotions. That's also one of Feuerstein's ways of working with children. And for a child with dyscalculia, we'd work on accessing the number system. But this just helps things to go a bit easier in the education, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it can get fixed or cured.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. I know it must feel like as you've just arrived and we're already having a break, but after the break, maybe we can look at kind of the ongoing research and how things have developed compared to when we were at school.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherie Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Annelise Clark, and this is the first of a series of interviews with the team at Bella Vista School entitled View to a Brighter Future. But today we are getting an overview of neurodevelopmental disorders. Annelise, while you were talking, I was thinking like when we were at school, you know, the naughty child was not diagnosed as ADHD, or was given a clap and told to sit still or sent to the principal's office or whatever. We've seen like so much change, both in terms of education, teachers, teams of people working together to help a child, and the whole emphasis has changed. Carers are now in charge as opposed to disciplinarians who may have only taken the job because, heaven knows, when I think back of some of my teachers at school, they weren't fit to be teachers at all. They should have been kept far away from children. I just wonder your thoughts in terms of where the research has come from and where we're going.
I think it's a very difficult subject because there are still a lot of children with behavior issues and children that are just naughty. I think we can't take away from that, and of course children are also just children.
And should we be taking away from that?
No, I don't think so. But it's easier now just to understand why. So if a child is presenting in a specific way, whether or not it is because they are naughty or because they have a neurodevelopmental difficulty, I always ask why. Because if a child could, they would. If a child could learn, they would learn. But if there is some kind of adversity, so often with divorces or with losing a parent or with something going on at home, you may have a behavior issue, and then they are going to come across naughty. But if we look at neurodevelopmental difficulties, these are your kids that, for instance, a child will refuse to do their reading out loud in the class. And that child might be dyslexic, and they're not going to read for you if they can't. And then they'd rather display it as, I'm going to run to the bathroom, or I'm going to be the class clown, or I'm going to just throw a tantrum because that's the better way to actually get past it and not having to read. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of...
I mean, you wouldn't know automatically, so it would require... What would it require to know why? To get to that why?
I think it takes a lot of willingness to learn and to train as a teacher and as a parent. Generally, parents have an innate or almost a gut feel that there is something more to that behavior than what it looks like on the surface. I think when a child displays a combination of difficulties, then behavior can often be connected to that difficulty. But we do have to look at the child holistically. We have to talk to parents. We have to talk to each other and try and make a conclusion.
And very conscious of that we have to, but just reassure us that things can be done. We don't have time now to go into what can be done, but that things can be done to help those suffering from neurodevelopmental
Absolutely, they can, and we will probably discuss it further on in our different series, but definitely it's possible.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. That was Annelise Clark, and she was the beginning, the first off on our View to a Brighter Future, our new monthly series. Before I say goodbye, let me tell you about the following. Discover the delightful symphonies of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham. Every Friday, indulge in fresh baked flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade and classic loaves, or perfect for Shabbat. Try the Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life. For a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order easily via WhatsApp 076-108-0085 and taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. Thank you to all of you for joining me. Thanks to Craig for putting the show together and helping me in the studio. I wish you all, until next week, Shabbat Shalom.